You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, everyone, welcome to the third hour of Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got a huge Christmas party coming up on December 15th, Friday night. Please join us. And it's got, we're going to be at the fabulous White Stallion Ranch in Marana. And we're going to have a cowboy barbecue buffet, slow roasted, slow cooked baby back ribs, barbecue chicken, all the fixings. We'll have some fun music, and I'm working on a little kind of a little game we're going to have and have some fun with some prizes. Just, we're going to have holiday cheer like you would never believe. That's all I'm telling you. It's all we're happening. So go to whitestallion.com, book your tickets. The ticket sales have been going pretty well, and there is a limit to the tickets. So once we hit it, it's over. Let's go to the phones. U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs. Andy, good morning. Welcome, sir.
Chris, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing, sir. We're doing the best we can under these trying times, as we say.
Yes. Yes. That's good. Good on you.
Hey, I know we were going to talk about FISA 702, but I want to talk about, just real quick, there was the... as we're getting close to, you know, we're working on budgets and all this stuff. Scott Perry said that that the Freedom Caucus was going to kind of go back, and looks like they've agreed, spending levels agreed to as part of the original McCarthy Biden deal. Does this sound accurate? And where are you at with it?
Well, there are some in the Freedom Caucus that are going to do that. I'd probably say most of them.
Doesn't sound like Andy Biggs is.
Look, I'm still at a 2019 level because that takes us back to the pre-COVID level, and that gets us it actually bends the spending trajectory down. What you're doing here is the new number that they're talking about is $1.6 trillion at a savings of $100 billion over the Biden-Schumer-Pelosi levels. And then there is no guarantee at this point even that they're going to, you know, without getting too much in the weeds, not do the gimmicks that takes it right back up to near that spend rate. And if you can't find in a $7 trillion budget more than $100 billion, and then I think we got a real problem here.
Amen.
I mean, we do have a real problem. We do have a real problem here. That's the point. That's why you can't just settle for that.
So does Scott and the caucus members that are kind of supporting this, have they made like the last 6 months of all this speaker stuff almost like semi-fruitless or mildly fruitless? How would you describe, if they were in that battle, where are they at now?
They're frustrated like us. I mean, they know that we fought on this to change things dramatically. But we haven't seen anything to get enforcement on the border. You know, the speaker is talking today about putting a massive supplemental package together. We don't even know if they're planning on paying for that. So, I mean, there goes your $100 billion of savings if they approve that.
Correct.
$100 billion supplemental without paying for it. So, they're frustrated. They're trying to find places to land, but I just don't think these are good places to land. I think they're bad places to land, and I think every time we give in on stuff like that, it furthers the trajectory that we're on, which is a skyrocketing spending trajectory with very little accountability. And I think that is so dangerous for this country. By the way, next month, in December sometime, we will exceed $34 trillion in national debt. That's news.
So. It's sinful. It's what it is. And then Tucson sector is just getting pounded right now.
Hammered. Unbelievable. I mean, I talked to several of my CBP contacts down there, and I keep going back to these guys, and I keep saying, stop funding what you don't want to stop funding what you don't want to fund. Let's just fund like CBP, ICE, the military, air traffic controllers, TSA. Let's pick out who we're going to fund.
Yep.
Let's not make it big agencies and programs. We'll fund that, and then let's shut the rest of the government down until they actually deliver on enforcement of the border instead of agreeing to something like a $1.6 trillion spend.
But now they're pulling people off of the lanes, right, at Mariposa and these different places. And what's happening, of course, is it's Christmas season, and I got real Mexican shoppers that need to come and spend millions of dollars and more, so places like Marana could get sales tax revenue to pay for stuff. And that's going to be, it's just a mess.
Well, that's right. And it's, so you're pulling people off the Mariposa lanes, but that they're all going to transport and processing. But that's, we don't have anybody actually on the line anymore because they're all doing transporting and processing as well. So we have 100 miles of border wide open, and your ports of entry where you have the legal entrants coming in can't operate properly. And you got Mayorkas telling us that this is, everything is hunky-dory. And it's time for him to, it's long past time for Mayorkas to go. And so I think we're going to get another shot at it, if not this week, maybe next week.
Tell me about FISA 702, Andy.
So this is the authority to that we gave FISA. We talked FISA. It's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's the authority to and put certain constraints on surveilling foreign subjects who are not in the U.S. But and then 702 specifically deals with what happens when a U.S. person interacts with a foreign dirtbag. So right now, we are trying to take that back so there's no more surveillance on U.S. persons without Fourth Amendment protections, or in other words, a warrant. And, of course, we're getting threatened, if you do that, then there's going to be, all kinds of terrorist acts, et cetera. But the bottom line is they've been abusing this, and the Inspector General who reviewed this said just a couple of years ago they had over a million illegal, what they call queries or warrantless searches, and now they've got it down, and they're saying, we've got it down to just hundreds of thousands, and so we've really made some incredible improvement, and maybe they have, but there's no discipline. And there's no oversight, and there's no transparency. This is all done in secret courts and classified domains. And I mean, this is the crazy thing where you've had an entire political party was targeted under this surveillance. And so we're in the process. The judiciary should be actually considering my bill next week. We're going to amend it up and make it even better than it is, and we've got broad bipartisan support and bicameral support. So that's important if we're going to get this through the Senate and get it to the president's desk.
I was noticing one of our favorite, not favorite people, Dr. Fauci is coming up soon for some public hearings in Congress.
Yes, I fortunately or unfortunately, I don't sit on that committee where he'll be coming to. fortunately for him, unfortunately for me, there's a lot to ask. I mean, I've kept a Dr. Fauci file now for several years of basically equivocation all over the map. This guy doesn't have the truth in him. So it's going to be interesting to see how my colleagues handle him.
The Senate subcommittee just released a interview with him where, quote, it's been proven that when you make life difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological blue blank, I can't say the word, and then they get vaccinated, unquote. What a guy.
Yeah, this is he is the prototype of an authoritarian. And what it is just think of this. He was a career bureaucrat. Here's a guy that disguised sending U.S. dollars to research companies for gain of function research. And what is gain of function research? It basically is, how do you make a disease more lethal and more transmissible, more easily transmissible? That's what he was trying to do. And they were laundering money through a particular organization, and they were funding the Wuhan viral lab. So that's this guy. And you know, if there's anybody that probably should be looked at more than Hunter Biden, it's Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I would love to know how much all these scientists who are on the patents for the vaccines that yes. work for the government made on this deal, because I think that number will blow everyone's mind.
Well, I mean, currently, we have tried to prevent, because these guys working like in Fauci's position, they can actually take money, quasi-employment or consulting jobs with Big Pharma. And that's got to end, man. I'm just telling you, that has got to end. But this is whack-a-mole season here. There's just so much going on, and it's hard to get everybody ginned up over every issue. But that's another one where that kind of conflict of interest would not be tolerated in virtually any other aspect of government. Why accept it here?
We got a U of A president that can't find $249 million on a miscalculation. He's still got a job, so don't worry about it. There's hope for us all.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, the Pentagon's lost $2.4 trillion, okay? So he's a piker.
That's
compared
true.
To the Pentagon.
And the Pentagon's failed, what, 6 audits in a row now?
Well, those are the 6 most recent audits. They have never passed an audit since the Pentagon has been around, since the Department of Defense has been around. They've never, not one audit. You're laughing so you won't cry.
That's what we say on Wake Up Tucson. If we stop laughing, we're going to start sobbing, and the show will be even worse than it is now.
Fair enough.
All right, my friend. Well, keep the fight up. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
Later, Andy. U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs. Let's bring in Julian from the Boys Chorus is here, and we'll talk about their Christmas concert coming up and on the 16th. And Matt is giving away tickets, so... You want to do some now? Is that okay?
Let's do that at the bottom of the hour, please.
You got it. Oh, that's right. You got it. He's working with RTA on his traffic here. This is huge. All right, on the bottom of the hour, we're going to be giving away some tickets. Wake up. All right, 8:23 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. It's time for we're in the middle of the Christmas season. I mean, I was in November 1st, but and we have the Tucson Boys Chorus, of course, and we have their executive director, Julian Ackerley, here. Julian, welcome back. Good morning.
Thank you, Chris, and good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I want you to pull that mic over just a little bit that way to get full. You know how to use a mic, don't you, singer guy? There you go.
Been using it for a while.
December 16th, Crowder Hall.
Yes, sir.
And this is the what annual Christmas concert for the Tucson Boys Chorus?
Well, phenomenally, it's the 84th annual Christmas concert.
Wow.
Our first Christmas program was in Christmas Eve, December 24th of 1939.
You were not at that one.
I was not at that
okay.
one. Our founding father, Eduardo Caso, had begun the program earlier that fall by giving individual singing lessons to one boy, Jimmy Fersdorf. And that
What a name.
Yeah, James Fersdorf. And that blossomed into 8 boys by Christmas Eve. And that actually was our organization's first public performance.
And where was that public performance?
It was at a church. It was at the First United Methodist Church here in Tucson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. I think of all the discussions we've ever had about this, I've never heard that story until now.
Really?
Tells you what a horrible radio show host I am. Tell us about the program on the 16th.
Yes, it will highlight all the members of our program, from the youngest of our 6-year-old cadet boys all the way up through our college-level students in the Young Men's Ensemble. All the ensembles will be featured in their own individual segments and then, of course, combined music. It will feature Christmas, of course, sacred and secular, also Hanukkah selections. But a particular feature is going to be movements from Vaughan Williams' Hodier, which is a Christmas cantata.
Okay.
And our Young Men's Ensemble and Touring Chorus will do that.
I'm a Vaughn Williams fan, so.
Are you? Yeah.
Yep, so.
So am I. It's really great. And the boys will be accompanied by an orchestral ensemble of 10 players of both brass, strings, percussion, organ, piano. So it is it will be an exciting afternoon and evening for those who join us.
All right. Do you know the set list mostly off the top of your head?
Yes.
Hit it. What do we got?
We're opening with For the Joy of the Birth. It will be followed by the traditional Silent Night, which will be paired with a melody called Dearest Baby Jesus. Then we feature our town singer chorus in three selections. One of those, a Hanukkah tune. We'll be doing a combined Hanukkah tune with the touring chorus. It's just called Hanukkah Nagun. And then we'll go into our young men's ensemble singing a TTB, which is tenors and bass. Setting of Sing Noel. And then the first half ends with the Vaughn Williams Odie Cantata.
Very nice.
And then there's a 15-minute intermission, and the second half is all kind of the fun side of Christmas.
I'll call you back in 2 seconds.
The sacred stuff, starting with Deck the Halls and Little Saint Nick and Jolly Old Saint Nicholas, White Christmas, Carol of the Bells, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It is going to be a nice traditional Christmas all the way around.
I love it. And I know that we're going to try to do. You're going to be on TV.
Yes.
On Channel 4, KVOA.
Yes, our great friends.
And so, what's that going to look like? It's not a recording of this concert. It's more like produced pieces.
Yes, this is a program. It's a 30-minute program. It's called Holiday Treasures and Favorites. And it will be aired on KVOA on Christmas Eve and their sister station, Cozy, on Christmas Day. It's a 30-minute program, and it's recorded in studio and filmed out on location all around Tucson. And we had a program similar to this back a couple of years ago, which was our focus during the COVID time when we weren't doing public concerts. And we've taken that 2020 program and have updated it. And in fact, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be out on location filming some more new updated versions. So it's a delightful program, and I think the community will enjoy seeing their singing ambassadors.
What's one or two new locations you guys are going to be at?
We're going to partner with our friends, the Pistolero Wild West Show out at Trail Dust Town, and so we're going to do a set on their set.
Nice.
By the way, they have a great Christmas show going too, and so if anybody wants to go out and have a good time, we recommend that. We've also at the Westward Look is one of the locations that we have, White Stallion Ranch, which is another great location, as you know.
Absolutely. It's where our Christmas party is this year.
Right. So all around Tucson.
Beautiful. All right. So December 16th, there's usually two shows, right? A matinee and an evening.
Correct. 3:00 and 7:30.
How do people buy tickets?
They can go to boyscourse.org. They can call us, which is 520-296-6277, or tickets will be available at the door as well.
This is going to sound like a very outdated question. I feel like tree lot?
Yes, of course.
We're doing it?
We're all home for the holidays. Our tree lot is at our building, 5770 East Pima Street.
Okay.
We are open Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Full lot hours on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. And people can buy trees during the week by just making an appointment so that we can make sure we have somebody out there. Beautiful fresh cut trees, all kinds of styles, and great holiday decorations in support of the Boys Chorus.
Awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing. I think that's one of your best traditions. So
thank you.
All right, my friend. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. That's Julian Ackerley, Tucson Boys Chorus. And remember, it's the December 16th, two shows, Crowder Hall. Get your tickets. It's kind of part of, this and the Nutcracker, always part of people's things that they do for the holidays. And I think that's worthy of your dollar. So, all right, my friend, have a good week.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 Voice. Matt's going to be giving away some tickets for this performance right now. Call up. First caller that calls up and guesses Matt's favorite Christmas cookie is getting those tickets.
It's the candy cane.
790-2040. All right, we're doing the Dream playlist. That's Blondie, a little dreaming. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Some of the best drums I've ever heard in a Blondie song ever. Kudos to that dude, as we like to say. 790-2040 is the phone number. Higgins just sent me this story called Some Schools Are Changing How They Grade Students. Oh, God. tomorrow's show, we have our friends from Gospel Rescue. Oh, sorry, wrong show. Tomorrow, we got it now, John Post from the Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express, which opens up this weekend, starts tomorrow night. And then Fatima from Incas will be here for her 14th anniversary celebration. Mark with Movies is going to be doing some deep track movie work. And then third hour, we may have a Congressman Siskamani calling in from D.C. So we'll keep an eyeball on that. What else do we got here today? So much Rockin' Robbins in the quarter bill today, but it was a it's again, we played that audio in the beginning because the U of A is, you know, one of the key employers in this community. That's just, you know, it's part of the identity of Tucson, and to see the mismanagement here has been outstanding in a horrible way. Let's get to tonight, DeSantis. Now, I couldn't care about, I mean, DeSantis is my guy for the presidential primary. But I will tell you that, and I didn't watch any of these debates. They were just ridiculous. So tonight at 7 p.m. is Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom debate at 7 p.m. I like the idea that we're having this discussion. You know, it's Hannity's the moderator, so whatever, but that's where we're at. So hold on for 2 seconds. Sorry, people calling me during a show here. So Ron DeSantis on Tuesday promised he would work with the states to implement term limits for members of Congress. One of the things we need in this country is term limits for members of Congress. We have people like Nancy Pelosi have been there for a decade after decade. They're more interested in advancing themselves than they are delivering results for you. As president, I will lead efforts to bring about term limits through the states. Florida has certified it. Many other states have certified it. We have the ability to do this. Everyone believes we need term limits for the members of Congress. I don't know why he was the first one to come out. You would think Trump, with all of his small government, blah, blah, blah stuff, would say, well, that's a good thing, right? So let's go up to Maricopa County. This is Rachel Mitchell. This is on Channel 3, CBS 5. Three people are accused of stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise as the county attorney's office continues to crack down on retail thefts across the valley. According to Mitchell, the three suspects stole $50,000 from valley area stores. The first case says 39-year-old Juan Ambriz Ricon traveled from New Mexico to Arizona for over a year and stole $46,000 worth of items from home improvement stores around Maricopa County. He would reportedly grab a high-priced item, walk out of the store without paying, and then resell the item online. He was indicted for 14 counts of organized retail theft, 2 counts of traffic stolen property, and a variety of things. Mitchell's office also busted 2 women in a different retail scheme. They said Sarah Barker and Sierra Monroe stole $6,600 worth of merchandise from several discount clothing stores in the Phoenix area. The theft's crackdown is part of the office's safe shopping campaign, which is aimed to help combat retail organized crime. So here's the best part. We have nothing like that going on. Right?
It would be refreshing to hear that there's a similar initiative in Pima County.
When I read the line of continuing their crackdown,
yeah.
In Pima County, we have to actually start the crackdown.
Right. And this is a tag team between law enforcement and the Maricopa County attorney.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you don't think there's money in it, with the price of gas these days, this guy's making repeat trips from New Mexico to Maricopa County, and it's still financially viable for him.
Well, and so the $46,000 worth of stuff, that's what they know of.
It's like Kramer with the returned bottles and Newman. You know, there's no money in it. Apparently there's enough money in it that he can blow $40 or $50 worth of gas to keep it going.
Hey, I need you to do me a favor. I want to go to break early.
And you can do that.
Please. And then we got some tabs like you would never believe.
Tabs.
Huge tabs. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. I also believe Dan Hartman does that one, that Get Out of Town song from the original Fletch. Remember when he takes the kid's car with
Is that right? Yeah, sure.
I think that's a Dan Hartman
the
tune,
Alfa
too.
Alfa Romeo graduate.
Thank you very much. We were also just talking about in that previous song by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, if you notice the backing vocals, it was a lovely voice of Linda Ronstadt. So
indeed.
That'd be like one of those songs that should be on the Chris and Joe Hang Out on the Beach on Mexico. It's got that feel. So even borders on a little yachty, little yachty rock kind of thing. Just how's that feel? Just saying. All right. What else do we got here today on these damn tabs of mine? Woof.
Tabs.
Tabs, 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 tabs. Oh, let's get to Elon Musk. So, yeah, we're not going to play. So, he's on with this guy from the New York Times who, if I was going to describe the energy of the guy from the New York Times, I think it was Kierkegaard that once put it, he was quite a weenie.
That was the some of his lesser known works.
And he was talking about asking about people like advertisers that were going to pull their advertising because of the kind of freedom of speech on Twitter. I refuse to call it the previous name. And so this is an semi-exact quote from Elon Musk about reacting to advertiser boycotts. And I always love these people who say they're going to quit Twitter and then they're back, like that loser Keith Olbermann. I'm leaving. The old.
And then 30 minutes later, it's I can't quit you.
I'm back. Twitter can't live without me. I got over my anger and I said, man, this Twitter can't survive without Keith Olbermann. Oh boy. Here's the semi-quote from Elon Musk about advertiser boycotts about who don't like freedom of speech stuff. If someone's going to try to blackmail me with money, go blank yourself. Then he repeats it again. Go blank yourself. he says the judge is the public, and then the other guy, Sorkin, says, you think that the public's going to say that Disney's making a mistake? Yes. And they're already going to boycott Disney. They already are. Look how much money Disney has lost. Not only just coming out with trash movies, but and also with all of their politically correct preaching, social justice stuff. People have made them the amount of money that they've lost on all their total movies this year is off the charts, right? The loser Marvel thing, the Indiana Jones thing. I mean, we're just going to ruin your childhood. That's what we're going to do. Going to ruin your childhood. You know, and the other social media thing, Jim Jordan has just released the YouTube files part one. Internal docs from Google, YouTube's parent company, obtained by the Judiciary Committee, showing that the Biden White House wanted Americans censored. On April 12th, Biden's director of digital strategy emailed Google wanting to know how Google could better crack down on vaccine misinformation and discuss what ways the White House and our COVID experts can partner in your product work. A while ago, I met with the folks from Google about misinformation and COVID-19. Was hoping to connect with those folks again from your side about the work we're doing to combat vaccine hesitancy and crack down on vaccine misinformation. Let's see what else we got here. And then Jim Jordan, privately, Google understood what this request meant as internal docs obtained by the judiciary reveal. A week later, one of the Google government affairs team who has been recent calls with the Biden White House, specifically Rob Flaherty, explained plainly what Flaherty wanted. Quote, really, he's interested in what we're seeing that's not coming down, unquote. So, and I love that vaccine misinformation. Any of us that had vaccine hesitancy and say, why would you do something with an experimental vax? I'll say it again. We're looking pretty good. Tomorrow's show, a special, it's like a special episode of Blossom. Right.
That's exactly where I was going. I was going to say
I'm sorry.
It's so true.
You complete me, Matt Neely.
That is so funny. So what's coming up tomorrow on a special edition of Wake Up Tucson? Soul Searching.
It's the first day of December, first and foremost.
Well, that's an annual event.
Thank you.
By the way, I got to get, or are we going to do an airing of grievances this year?
Of course, on December 23rd.
I got to get that on the...
Oh, are we on the air on the 23rd? Yeah. No, we're not. 22nd? We're going to have to do a... Yeah, 22nd. We'll do
bring the meatloaf in, and
I mean, we already had an airing of grievances, but on the show before.
Daily.
So we got John Post. Okay. The Post family owns the Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express. He'll be here at 6:30.
So what are they going to use the cannon to shoot? What are they going to shoot pumpkins at for Christmas?
They don't shoot pumpkins at Christmas.
Okay.
Now he made me cry.
Oh.
Because I texted him and said, "Hey, can I come over and shoot the pumpkins at full power?" Because he said, and he goes, "Dude, we just put it all away and cleaned everything. We can't." And I wept.
You snooze, you lose. Think long.
I blew it. Mea culpa, mea culpa.
You are there.
I know. So he'll be here. Fatima will be here celebrating the 14th anniversary of Inca's Peruvian. Then Mark will be here with his top 10 kind of deep tracks Christmas movies. Not the typical ones, not Wonderful Life, Elf, that kind of thing. It's those ones that are good Christmas movies. And of course, I'm sure all of you will call him about Die Hard. And then there's a good shot that we might be seeing Juan Siscomani in the third hour. So,
an action-packed end of the week.
It is.
Yeah.
And then we got our amazing Christmas party. So
I'm looking forward to Mark's list. I'm looking forward to the whole 3 hours, of course, but Mark's list in particular.
He's a good man, that Mark Van Buren. I appreciate the work that he does. What else do we got here today? Oh, let's get to this. I like this one. This is and this reminds me. I when I read this article, it was from Vince Bielski from Real Clear Politics, and it's called Zombie Schools. And I thought of Santa Rita High. A significant but unknown number of public schools across the U.S. have lost so many students in the last half a decade that many of the classrooms sit empty. The harm from these half-empty schools is inflicted directly on all students. Without enough per-pupil state funding, blah, 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 they require financial subsidies to remain open, forcing district-wide cutbacks. Well, again... And I know that someone's offering how many millions of dollars, Matt, to buy the TUSD building? 18 million for that piece of crap? I guess it's the dirt, right, is what they wanted for. Up Campus Properties, a Chicago-based developer of the Hub High-Rise Apartments, has offered them $18.3 million to buy the TUSD headquarters. The school headquarters would be relocated to the U of A service annex north of downtown. Oh, my God. They're going to buy the TEP building? 220 West 6th? That's a crap building. I think the last time I was in it, it had wood paneling in that damn building.
Okay.
I mean, that thing is trash. So here's the real question. Whoever did the story on at the Arizona Daily Star. Oh, this is Jessica Votipka, Italian name. I'm just kidding. Votipka. They would, how much are we buying the other one for? I like that the employees at 1010, the one they're going to sell, refer to the aged elevators as death tubes.
Oh, goodness.
I love it. It says the district's been trying to sell for at least 15 years.
So they could have reduced the $18 million from the $500 million of bonds.
Right.
See, it's like the city of Tucson. After the election, they say, oh, we're going to raise all these fees. You know? And then after you give TUSD $500 million, they say, oh, we had $15 million sitting in our pocket right here. We're just going to sell it. And curious. That's all.
So the interesting part of all this, right? When we talk about going back to the zombie schools, and I'm sure there's plenty of zombie schools in TUSD. But Santa Rita is one of the granddaddies of them all, right? Because it was probably built to hold 2 to 2,200 kids. So we're hearing there's 200 kids in Santa Rita right now. I mean, they don't even have sports teams anymore because there's not enough kids. But the ego on, I guess this is the school board members, that because I know what they'll say publicly, the school is part of the fabric of the community, but no one's going to it anymore, right? So remember, these are the guys who didn't want to sell it to Vail. Cal Baker came to them and said, sell me Santa Rita and we'll make it a Vail high school. Well, that would have been one of the smartest things they could do. But there's an ego thing. Somehow, these school board members, the Shaws or any of these people.
It's Frank Burns level paranoia.
Right.
Oh, we can't do that because then you guys will eat our lunch.
But at the same time, it's the ego that they think they can bring it back. There's nothing on the on the playing field of what you're presenting, what you're doing. You just said you have no money to do the basics for your buildings. That's why you had your bond thing that passed. Right? A bond thing that would probably have been, if there was any opposition, would have been shot down. Any. So now all of a sudden you think with this school board the way it is, right? Val Romero is the only, to me, I mean, you have Jennifer Ekstrom on. I mean, she has it genetically in her to not get anything done for the taxpayers or the end user. Have you met her father? And all of a sudden they think they're going to fill a school that has 2,000, that should have 2,000 kids with 200. It's kind of a comedy show. Kind of a comedy show. And then, again, another story about low morale, increased encounters at the border. And it has a quote from Juan Siscomani. This is Pat Paris over at KGUN, talking about 3,000 encounters a day, 15,000 a week. And I love it that Pima County just keeps telling you that they just stay in Pima County for a day or so and blow out. That can't be true. It just can't be true. And then Art Del Cueto, vice president of the Border Patrol Council, he says, morale is the lowest he's ever seen it. I keep saying that every time I do another interview. Unfortunately, it gets lower and lower and lower. Just when you don't think it gets low enough, something like this happens. It's very busy. Previously, it's very busy. Now, listener Bev up in Catalina emailed me to say that my contact told me this morning that the I-19 Border Patrol checkpoint, the one that's at Chavez Siding Road there, is closed. So the first time in 20 years, all 10-hour shifts are now processing illegals. And so I guess when you go to the Tubac Luminaria Festival this weekend, you don't have to go through the line at Tubac. So I always like the Antonori's take on this is years ago. You should never have permanent checkpoints. It makes no sense, right?
It just makes them nowhere to avoid.
Right.
He was right about that from the beginning.
You know, and so Frank was That he remember, I feel like that was a Gabby Giffords, before she got shot, she was a big believer in having the permanent checkpoint. And Frank's like, no, you don't do the permanent checkpoint. You keep them guessing. Well, we haven't kept the cartels guessing in 90 years. So why start now, as we like to say? All right, everyone. Thanks for a nice show today. We'll see you tomorrow for a very fun Friday. Again, if you want to, it's on my Facebook page, but if you want me to send you that Zoom recording of Dr. Robbins with the Faculty Senate, hit me up at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Remember, whitestallion.com to get your Christmas party tickets. So everyone have a great day. Matt, thanks for all your efforts. Thanks to Andy Biggs, David Schweikert, and Julian Ackerley. Wake up.